But in the studio now, I actually have Dan McCormick, and he's the director of The Chalk Garden. It's a new play. Well, it's a play coming on. It's not new, it's an old. I'll get Dan to explain that to you in the Sean O'Casey. Good morning, Dan. How are you?
Hello, how are you? Thanks very much for having me.
Not at all. A little bit I'd like to talk. First of all, if people are interested in this one, we'll talk about it. But what's the protocol? How will people just turn up on the night, or can they book for tickets, or... What way do they go about it?
Oh, absolutely. They can probably the simplest way is to Google No Drama. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you Google No Drama, it's the first thing that comes up. It's also, if you Google, you know, Amateur Dramatics Dublin, it's one of the first things that comes up. That'll lead you to everything else. Mm-hmm. We have people can book tickets on Eventbrite, or they can go straight to the Facebook and they can go through there. Or, to be honest, they can also turn up on the night. There'll probably be tickets on the door. Price is about €12. And it's in the Sean O'Casey, so it's quite a, you know, it's a big theatre. There's lots of room there.
And it's a relatively new theatre, and that's a pretty reasonable price, I must say, for theatre.
It's kind of trying to offer something, I suppose, a bit different to, you know, for people wanting something else to go to the cinema now, because the cinemas are, you know, a different event to go to. Because, mm-hmm. You know yourself, going to the cinema these days with all the paraphernalia can really ramp up the price.
Yeah, it's compatible just for the ticket price alone.
Absolutely,
with cinema,
yeah.
And so Sean O'Casey itself, as I say, it's a relatively new. The location of it, is whereabouts is it?
It's probably the easiest way. It's around Spencer Dock. And it's basically it's the community centre down there out in North Wall. And the theatre itself was built in, it was renovated in 2009. So it's actually a beautiful theatre. I mean, it's a lovely, sophisticated setting. Mm-hmm. And we've had a number of plays in there now. And it's a very comfortable, very nice place to work. And it's a great, you know, it's in the heart of town. So it's a great location for us, mm-hmm. as well, you know.
Okay, and you've got the Lewis there that can drop you up there.
Oh, absolutely, the red line there brings us right to there.
Okay, now to talk about this, when I saw this, The Chalk Garden, in the back of my mind somewhere, I was saying, I've heard the name of this before, and just as before you came on, I was saying about it. Yeah, it was a movie originally, wasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, originally it was a stage play by Enid Bagnold, mm-hmm. and actually it's a British play, but it made its sort of great success on Broadway. And then that was brought on by Ronald Neim, who made that into a film, and mm-hmm. he adapted that. And it was actually kind of the big, at the time, it was a big splash, because it was Hayley Mills working with her father, John Mills, mm-hmm. and Deborah Kerr. So there was a great great interest in that at mm-hmm. the time.
Give us a little bit of background to the play now, because I don't want to mix it up, because Deborah Kerr, you mentioned her, she was in another movie, The Innocents, I think it was called. Mm-hmm. Is it similar to that? That was a bit eerie and all that sort of carrying.
Well, it's definitely mysterious. Mm-hmm. It's definitely be similar in theme in that. Essentially what we're sort of, I suppose, to explain a bit of background, mm-hmm. about the story. We've put down the Chalk Garden as a mystery of hidden pasts, lost loves and false identities. Excuse me. But basically, essentially what it's about is about this mysterious young woman, Miss Madrigal, who turns up at this old, dark, sort of desolate house to apply for this job as a governess. And she soon realises that the job is to look after this really unruly young girl. And the sort of head of the house, the matriarch, is this grandmother who kind of keeps the girl in the house almost like a china doll. Mm-hmm. And the grandmother is very like Miss Havisham from Great Expectations, you know, this sort of eccentric in this house, falling rack and ruin, you know. The house is almost, in a way, the end of colonialism. It's all this old tradition crumbling. Mm-hmm. And... obviously not a great place for a young girl to be growing up, yeah. or a garden. And so the governess's job is to essentially breathe life or nurture life into the young girl and the garden. But she soon realises that the girl is a lot more than meets the eye to her, and that she's keeping this dark secret. And the governess herself has her own secret. So it becomes this battle of wits between the two of them trying mm-hmm. to unveil each other's secret. Mm-hmm. And essentially what drew me to this play was the fact that this is a play where everyone's wearing a mask. Everyone has some secret. Mm-hmm. And it's about who's going to unveil who by the end of it. And by the final act, parts of our lead character's mysterious past come into the foreground. And so it's really... a battle of wits of sorts.
Okay, sounds terrific. I remember seeing it many, many years ago with Hayley Mills, now that you talk about it, and I just cannot remember it, so I might try and get it. Why such a short duration, though? I mean, 3 days, is it four?
Oh, it's four nights, yeah. Well, I suppose at the same time, it's kind of to give it a good run of it, but also to, you know, basically, essentially, everybody who's working on this play is not a full-time actor. They have they're usually at something else, so this is kind of a night job. So it's really to make the best out of a short space of time. Mm-hmm. And we'd rather use all our facilities to put on the best show we can in 4 days than to, you know, shortchange it and stretch it out.
Yeah. What made you, I mean, give us a bit of your own background, Dan, because, I mean, you're a very, very young man, if you don't mind me saying so.
Yeah, sure.
And everyone's vision of directors is, though, with Christopher Nolan, and I'm trying to think of a few more directors now who are very, very young. You'll be in the new genre. But how did you get into the directing end of it?
Right. Well, essentially, I started in cinematography. I was studying out in Ballyfermot. Then I went to the UK. I worked, I studied there directing at the film school there, the Arts University at Bournemouth. Then I worked in the UK for a bit. And basically, I found that I was kind of working on projects I wasn't that passionate about. Mm-hmm. So I moved to the States then, and I got involved in production and script development. I was working for Belladonna Productions and Big Beach Films. Their kind of flagship films would have been things like Little Miss Sunshine or Transamerica, these type of things. So they had a culture of really interesting films. And I suppose that was my interest, was to get involved in things that I'd be passionate about. And I suppose really to learn about the writing and the producing of it all. And I sort of got into that. And that really led me on to try and pursue my own writing and my own projects. And that's kind of the easiest way to do that was to come to a place I was that nurtures storytelling, which is Ireland. And when I came back, I found no drama. I discovered it. As simple as anyone can discover it. Just Google it. It comes up so easy.
Right.
And I found it such an open place to work with. And it lended itself quite nicely. But that's what I like about it, is it's open. I'm there 2 years now. Mm-hmm. But I come from a very different discipline. But there's so many multiple disciplines that people have. And they don't all have to be either film or drama. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of people, you know, I use the Bram Stoker idea, you know, accountant in the daytime, vampire by night. You know, anybody can, you know, have their let loose on stage, I guess. And they don't have to be on stage, rather they can work in the
background. And how do you find it when you talk about disciplines there, the difference between, say, movie directing and stage directing? Because, I mean, you can't say take two when they're on stage.
No, absolutely not. No, I think that's, you know, that's the exciting part of it, really. There's an element of the live quality, and we were actually just talking about this yesterday. There's an element of evolution, and that experimentation is fundamental to theatre. Mm-hmm. That every night is an experiment, and every night there's an element of mystery, so that it's constantly evolving. And as the actors go through it, they understand the play more, and because essentially the actors are the storytellers, so I find that, and also the audience plays a huge, tremendous part in it, which. You know, film has it's a different, they are totally different mediums, and how the audience plays a big part in film, but in a different way, capacity.
Yeah. I can understand that, because for instance, I've seen many a time actors express that when they look back on a performance, I mean, they don't like doing it, but sometimes you say, I know I could have did that better. So obviously the involvement, as you're talking about, is growing into the character. They sort of really don't get to do that on film, and I suppose with everything else. And I suppose if you compare the audience with a play, with a musician, sometimes you get a musician and they go in and they feel the energy from the audience before they even start. Would that sort of thing apply to a play as well? Like the cast and yourself would walk in and go, this audience is going to be good tonight, I can feel it. And then
absolutely. I mean, it's, you know, and that's the thing. That is the, you know, and I suppose that's the control as well, is not expecting the audiences to be the same. Mm-hmm. And that's what we kind of prepare them for, you know. But absolutely, it's essential. And I think also there's an element with this is a lot of these people, some of these people next week it's going to be their first time on stage, and that's just brilliant because it brings this excitement and the nervousness that can be used, and actually it's the audience that kind of generate that, and it is, it really is, it's give and take, you know, the audience give and we take it and then we give it back, you know, so there is that. And yeah, it's almost, you could almost say it's a collaborative process with the audience. Yeah, sure.
And just as a bit of an aside, I was just talking to someone in the business, the movie business, the other day, and the controversy now about not having a decent. I mean, I know we have Ardmore and stuff like that, and a few other places, but I think Clancy Barracks used to be, but that's, I believe, is gone.
Right. Yeah.
And a few other things like that. What would you think? Do you think it's a good investment in maybe a big studios in Ireland? Because seemingly, according to the papers the other night, we're losing $1 billion because of locations. They haven't got, you know, a decent studio as such. What do you think about that? Do you think, I mean, even for stages, I mean, you've got the Sean O'Casey, but we have a dearth of theatres in the city alone, haven't we?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I think in a lot of ways things are changing in that, like you said, there's a lack of the larger venues, but then smaller venues like things like the Harbour Playhouse places, smaller venues that are kind of catering for kind of if something isn't as expansive or it isn't going to fill a huge theatre, but also kind of theatres that allow people to try out new stuff, you know, where you don't want to take all the risks, but you want a space that's intimate. So I think that intimate spaces for theatre are certainly becoming more in the forefront. And you see a lot more of these kind of alternative venues that do a mixture of art forms, whether they play film or theatre and all these kind of things. But as regards to Ardmore and huge studios, I think it's, you know, there's definitely a trend going that way with things like up the north with Game of Thrones, and sure, the other day we were at you know, a prop centre near Ardmore, and people from Penny Dreadful were coming down. And I mean, like, if we have people like Sean Bean and Josh Hartnett hanging around, we need to, absolutely, if the demand is there, we need to up the game.
Well, the way it was made to me, like, that there must be lots of places on, say, in the Fingal area. I mean, when we were talking about it, for instance, and the person that worked on the movie was saying about it'd be handy if he had a decent big place. I mean, Ardmore was no problem. It's not miles away. But if you had somewhere near the airport where all the people who are very busy, like yourself, directors and actors and that,
You've got an investment out there?
No. The government has. But I was just thinking as we were talking, the government.
Absolutely.
Didn't they buy some place to build a new prison? And it's probably lying idle out there.
Well, that's it. The amount of. And it's, you know, the thing about film and indeed in theatre, looking for alternative spaces, is the sense of eventism, you know, one with theatre is finding alternative locations, you know, like trying to host a castle event in an actual castle, or say, or something in a prison. Like, you know, things can be repurposed in a really interesting way. And you're absolutely right. But the thing about my one experience about film is you are looking for everything under the sun, and you never know. Every day is going to be different. I mean, when I was in the States, the first job I had was to find trailers for trailer parks, and we don't really have that culture here. So I was dealing with, you know, really the heart of the Deep South, trying to get these trailer parks to kind of create a sense of atmosphere in these create this trailer park setting for a very moody setting. But it was all brand new to me, even the terminology, you know. So I think that there is an element, certainly the arts is its demands are far reaching.
Well, anyone that's in the arts, they always want to expand whatever they can be doing. So I'm sure that film would be on your agenda as well as the theatre. Can I ask you about the drama workshops that you do? Is this where you get some of the actors from? What it's all about? Sort of people who have an interest in becoming an acting or anything to do with the theatre?
Yeah, absolutely. Basically, No Drama started. It started about 5 years ago in 2008. And this is actually our 12th production now. and that's a full production put on. They put on four shows a year. So they put on two full productions, and then they put on two shindigs, which are basically, the shindigs are essentially a chance for writers from the group and actors from the group to try out new stuff and do kind of one-act plays. So we do a night where we show all these sort of experiments, I guess, and a lot of these go on to be full productions. And kind of the hope and where it's moving, because it's developing all the time, is to kind of bring something in that, so No Drama up until now has brought out, you know, established plays, and that we'll bring out our own stuff, because there's a wonderful, you know, selection of talent there. And it's all ultimately for people who want to come along. We work out of, it's basically every Tuesday, and we work at, it's at 7 o'clock, and it's in the CBS Sing Street School there, just on Sing Street. And it's open door policy, which is kind of unique for Amdram groups, because a lot of them are kind of closed door. You have to sign up and have a major commitment. This is kind of, it's more open. Come along, see what happens. You can join at any time, and you don't need any acting experience. And also, even if acting isn't your thing, you can get other, there are other disciplines like this play. Mm-hmm. Everybody's learning something for the first time. Mm-hmm. And that's part of what makes it special, I guess, too. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's all entirely homegrown. And I've been exceptionally lucky to be a part of it. Mm-hmm. And I'm really humbled to be asked to be a director in this piece.
It's amazing, though, Dan, as well, when you say that, you never know what you're going to find out. Your forte is the same. Some people, if you go into the music, like the guitar, piano, the obvious things, but then there's tubas and all sorts of strings. And the theatre's no different. If you look at the end of a movie, the credits that come up and all the work that's involved, and I'm sure with the theatre, it's the same. So people find their old genre that they really sort of get into, and say, this is my passion, whether it's lighting or sound or whatever it may
absolutely
be.
Absolutely. And just on that point, we've had a number of success cases of people who started out in one profession and through their involvement in No Drama have pursued professional careers. We have a number of very successful actors. Obviously, that's the main one. Mm-hmm. But we have a very successful cinematographer who came out through it, and he just showed in the IFI there for the Harrowtown during Halloween. He had one of his feature films shown there. So, I mean, it's really, and that kind of started, that gave him the push, really, and the nurturing environment to go, yeah, go for it. Mm. And I think that's what is fantastic about No Drama is it's so open, and it's a very nurturing place that just gives people the okay to just give it a go.
And they just turn up in Sink Street on any Tuesday night, 7
absolutely,
o'clock.
Absolutely, any Tuesday.
Okay, and just finally, we'll go back over the Chalk Garden now. It's on the 26th until the 29th, and people can just get down on the night, and hopefully there'll be tickets left, but if not, they can just look up. And there is a website that they can look up.
Absolutely. They can look up nodrama.com, or they can look up No Drama on the Facebook page. That'll bring you, essentially, that'll bring you to all the event pages and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. But all the information is there. Essentially, yeah, it's going on next week, and it'll be Wednesday to Saturday, and 26th to the 29th, and it'd be fantastic to get as many people to see it, because I'm really excited about it, because it's such a rich, mysterious story, and I think that for people who are looking for something a bit different, I think it's a great night out. And I think for the drama enthusiasts, you know, they're going to see some new talent there that might have been untapped until now, you know.
And on top of the play, which is a terrific and wonderful play, I think also for people to get to know the theatre a little bit, because it's just a little bit outside of the city, into the suburbs there, as you say. Mm-hmm. And it's just to get them to know the theatre and get used to it, because people just sort of think about the middle of town, and if it's not in town, then it's no event.
Sure.
I mean, the Helix once or twice have been to a play there, and I don't think they put on as many as they should. There's a beautiful theatre there. It's mostly musicals and stuff like that. But something like this theatre, the Sean O'Casey, I'd like to see that getting much, much well known, as much as the plays are as
absolutely.
Well.
Absolutely. And it's a multi-purpose building. I mean, they have everything there, from libraries to swimming pools to, you know, like, it's all going on over there. You know, they have so many, they have AstroTurf, there's football, there's so much, because it's a whole community centre, but it's so well built, and it has so many faculties. So even if your draw is to seek out this new building and what it has to offer, it's a brilliant chance to go down. definitely okay. make use of it.
Anything else lined up, Dan, after this? I mean, you just take a rest for a while, as they say.
Well, yeah, Christmas, going to be an uncle. You know, those things are coming around. They're the okay. big, they're the big personal events.
Okay.
And then it'll be on to the next production for the coming. Because you see, the thing is, no drama never stops.
Yeah.
So, you know, when we got one fire in the oven, that's not the expression, but you know what I mean.
One poker there.
One poker.
Yeah.
We got many, you know.
Okay, well, I hope to have you back in again, because, as I say, as much as the plays are as great and all as the plays are, I think you get the theatre known much, much better as well. I'd heard of it, but I'm glad I know more about it now. And it's just on the periphery there of the city centre. Anyway, Dan, thank you very much for coming in to talk to us. And that play is on in the Sean O'Casey Theatre there from 26th till the 29th. And I know it's going to be a great success. 8 o'clock. Just get it, look it up. Again, I'll ask you for the website.
It's nodrama.com.
Nodrama.com. Or just drop down. Okay, thank you very much, Dan.
Thanks a million.